What If It's Cool is proudly brought to you by Respo Clothing. Feel like a champion by wearing the merch from all the stars, including Luke Resner, B Squared, Savannah Rowe, John Stop Action, Nova Nichols, The Cooters, and my personal favorite, Conflict Axiom. So feel like a champion by checking out Respo Clothing. They can be found on Facebook and on Instagram. It's time to celebrate as MXW presents Homecoming, happening on Saturday, May 18th. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Adrenaline Pro Wrestling presents Battle to Survive 3, happening on May 25th at the Seaver Community Hall, featuring the Battle to Survive Rumble. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Alpha Pro Wrestling presents No Remorse, happening on Saturday, June 8th at the Pipeworth Market. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Victoria Professional Wrestling presents The Revolution Will Not Be Silenced, happening on Saturday, 8th of June. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Renegades of Wrestling presents God Save the Renegades, happening on Sunday, 9th of June, featuring the TLC match. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. They're out on parole. Make sure to check out Australian Outlaw Wrestling's On Parole Tour. First stop happening on June 15th at Pockets Maribyrn, featuring music from Nicolas Cage Fighter, Liar, and Infected. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Mayhem Pro presents Anarchy Rules 2, happening on Saturday, June 22nd. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Hello and welcome. Oh god, I can't even do this. I'm gonna address the elephant in the room right now. So I'm gonna call this the show What If We're Losers? Because we had a chance to be number one contenders for something, have a championship and a cup. Yes, the team got a number one contendership, but we didn't get a fucking championship and we didn't get a cup. So I'm loser number one, Daniel Porcrow. The winner of the team, Tass, is with us.
I was going to say, where is this going?
Yeah. And the biggest loser, literally, fun fact, he lost both matches, Dangerous Pete Morgan.
Mate, I got jumped during the first one, and the second one I took a tumble off the bloody stage. I tried my damn best, bro. Come on.
Gonna bury me on stage. I saw the highlights. You nearly hit your head on the edge.
Yeah, exactly. I nearly died for that cup.
Can I just say, you call me
the biggest loser? Jeez, man.
Hey. I just call it like I said. No, I'm just joking. No, but I will say this though. When you did take the tumble at Alpha's Energy, I literally like jumped my seat because I was making sure you're okay. I thought you actually hit the side of the ring because I heard something go bang and went, what was that? And it just turned out it was just Ryan's knee. But man, I saw the footage back of that highlight. Man, you were literally not even an inch away from hitting your head, dude. You like God was seriously looking after you that day.
When I landed, I was like, I cleared it cool, but I landed on my ass. So I'm like, that went terribly. But then I go backstage after the match and everybody's like, dude, you all right? You almost died. I'm like, what do you mean? I watched the clip back. in my throat, like, Jesus, that was close.
Oh, my God. The Alpha Energy 4 hopefully will be out in the next couple of weeks on the Alpha Pro Wrestling YouTube channel, so make sure to check that out. The other bit, though, when you challenged Jordan Sampson for the now christened Adrenaline Pro Wrestling Hardcore Championship, me and Tass were in the audience.
Yeah, I knew Tass was, but I didn't know you were until I started.
And we were doing our own commentary over your match. And the best thing that I had during the Insta stories on the One of the School socials was literally you fell, took a tumble, and Tasslo's on. Oh, give us a fun fact.
Fun fact, I'm getting my ass kicked.
No. And then I chimed
in. He said the same thing. Dale said the exact same thing.
Fun fact, that hurt.
Fun fact, I forgot where I parked.
But in all honesty, though, like considering that you were going against Jordan Sampson, who has been interviewed on the show and friend of all of us, man, you took a beating and you took it like a champ, dude. Like,
Oh, as we do, bro.
man, like especially when he got up and tried to get some offense. Like, I was like, dude, oh, Pete might get some really good offense on here, and you actually did really well. Like, you connected really well. I was f-ing rapt for you, man.
Waited for my shot once he threw his shirt at bloody what's his name, the adrenaline announcer. I was like, ah, screw it, and just went for it, man.
Nah, you did well, my friend, man. And man, I can't wait to see you get your revenge on Jordan Sampson.
Let's hope so. I've been speaking to management. Hopefully something happens.
You're speaking to Jim and to Tomo, yeah?
Well, hopefully something happens. They're not happy that I got jumped, so that's something.
Stay up to date with everything from Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Yeah, link is all in the description. Now, boys, before we get into X-Men 97 Episode 9, I just want to give a little bit of news, and I had a proud dad moment here. So last night, was driving home, and we decided to put Disney Plus on while we were driving home, and what we got through about 6 episodes of X-Men, and two episodes of Spider-Man the animated series. Oh my God, Bubs lost his shit over it. He loved X-Men, and I was like, because I thought he wasn't paying attention, because every now and again he was just looking outside the window. And I said, "Can did you like the episode?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, who was your favorite character?" And then he just went on and on and on about Storm. He loves Storm.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's good.
Literally, he's like, "Oh, it reminds me of Mom. She's such a strong woman. She's such a good leader." Now, when he said leader, I was like, my kid gets it, you know?
Awesome.
Better leader than Cyclops, because Cyclops is a bitch. and the best thing is, well, he loves Spider-Man. That's his favorite character, by the way. He said and this is the proud moment I want to go. I said, "What do you like better? Do you like Spider-Man or X-Men?" He goes, "Oh, I love Spider-Man better." I'm like, keep it together. Like, literally, I almost shed a tear because I was so happy. I'm just like, I've done my job as a parent by, you know, introducing him to the classics and the good stuff. But yeah, that was really good. But I will say this, though. I'm still not letting him watch X-Men 97 because it's too fucking violent for my kid right now.
He can watch all the way up to the first half of episode 4.
I'm still at that point. I don't approve of him to watch this yet. But at least till he's about like maybe 11 or 12. Maybe next year I'll see if I can introduce him to X-Men 97. But brings me to my point.
About that age would probably be appropriate for him.
Oh, 100%. That brings me to my point, because quite possibly this is the most violent episode we've had, especially with this ending.
Yeah. X-Men 97.
Now,
and I believe episode 5 probably tied.
Yeah, probably tied.
This one probably edges above it.
This one is probably the most violent verbal wise. So many people get burnt this episode. Wow.
Oh, let's get right into it. So who's got the synopsis for us?
I got something up. Hang on a second, boys. I've got the Wikipedia up, so I can go through bits and pieces.
Yep.
So Xavier is met with some distrust, but the X-Men focus on stopping Bastion and convincing Magneto to reverse his blackout. That is the first sentence.
Pretty much sums it up, really.
Yeah, they you get the fallout of... you also see Bastion walking his mom back to their house, because you see all the Prime Sentinels are shut down.
Just a bit of a creepy moment. They're not like... in back to being like human forms. They're still Prime Sentinels, but they're all like frozen in place.
Yeah, it's like they've got like lock-in syndrome or something.
But also seeing the tears coming from Bastion's face as well, I'm just like, wow. Because I was assuming he's a heartless bastard, but you know, seeing that his mum is what's the word, comatose? Is that the word, comatose? Or
yeah, that's the word.
Yeah. Form right now. You know, it's like, okay, he's got a heart. It's just not a very good one. I was like, okay, all right. I'm kind of like digging that. I'm starting to feel that he's not just a one-sided villain. I'm thinking, yeah, it's someone who I can get behind. And yep, it's finally happened again, because I still haven't had that much sleep. What happens next is I've forgotten.
I'll go back to
Xavier wakes up in the mansion.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh,
And the
right.
mansion's complete, still completely level from last episode.
And
Yeah.
here's my biggest problem with this whole thing. I get it. He just crash landed on Earth, but why the f did he take a nap?
I mean, brother just
On
flew from
the
space. You just answered your own question. That was probably not a quick flight.
way.
Nah,
True.
but if he was motivated like he looked at the end of the episode, I would have seriously thought, all right, let's just keep going, let's keep going, keep going, keep going. But it looks like it literally he got there, took a nap, and then woke up.
I mean, it was sort of symbolic though, because you see, like, he wakes up and he only has the normal wheelchair next to him. He hasn't got a suit or anything on. His room's destroyed. You see the floating chair actually is destroyed. So, like, it gives a feeling of, all right, everything's gone. Fresh start sort of feel, especially
Well, not
going
so
into
much a
the
fresh
battle.
start, because you hear like numerous times throughout the episode, the world's ending because of what Magneto did.
Yeah, if he's reversed the, what was it, the magnetic field of the Earth. So eventually the Earth is going to collapse in on itself.
No, it's just one thing I loved about the scene is when he actually lifts his leg out of the bed as well. I was like that's something that I went, okay. I'm like, all right, like I'm feeling that he's human again. Like it's like the last time he made an appearance, like it feels like he's not human. I don't know if that resonated with you guys, but for me it didn't feel like he was human anymore. Being up with the Shi'ar.
Yeah, he's going straight from on high in the Shi'ar Empire to being,
A
you know,
peasant.
pretty much,
Yeah.
give or take.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we forgot to do, boys? Acknowledge the other elephant room. We don't have Richard.
Oh, yeah, true.
I forgot about Dick.
Busy again.
He does apologize, everybody. The Nath is sadly he has a life. He's young and he likes to play sports, so he's chosen sport over the goddamn show. So Rich, if you're watching, one more strike.
Yeah, brother loves to play sport. We call it the redhead tail chase.
I All right, we can't lie. He's on a date. Good on him. Hey, are we sure it's a redhead this time? Sorry,
Oh,
it's a redhead. She's a redhead. I said
it's
she, not he.
heat. All
She.
right, brother. He swings both ways. That's cool, brother. That's cool with me.
Oh God, he will kill us next time he's here. But no. I'm not sure if she's a redhead, but she's a redhead. Let's hope she, looks like Jean Grey because he loves Jean Grey.
Oh, brother's gonna be living fantasies tonight.
Well, we did send him that TikTok. Was it TikTok or Instagram reel? All those
Marvel.
girls in cosplay,
Yeah.
all the X-Men characters, and there's a lot of redheads there. So,
The first three were all redheads.
there was a mistake, Madeline Pryor, and
Jean Grey.
yeah.
It's
All I'm gonna
fun.
say is internet wins. It definitely knows what we're looking for because that was on the What If It's Cool For You page, and I was like, I think either myself or all of us have said redheads too much, and it's now literally like next time it happens, I'm gonna take a screenshot because literally like the first four videos were all redhead videos of like either Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor, or it's just a hot, beautiful redhead. That's it. God, it was.
This is what if it's cool's FYP, you could just imagine riches. Like every video redhead.
Oh, maybe Rich took over the page and typed in redheads too many times.
No.
So now what happens next? After the so if he gets out of bed, they're all getting out, and is there a chat scene for this?
There's some stuff in between. Like you see Magneto's back in his classic costume.
Yes, we see him hold the helmet again.
And he brings up Asteroid M.
But before he does it, though, it's a beautiful moment because you just see. He doesn't even put the helmet on. He just stares out into the horizon, and like takes it all in because it's so quiet. Like, yeah, you got the ship there, but it's not moving. It's not making any noise.
Was that bit like reference to I can't remember which one is like and I stop me if I'm wrong. Was that from like the House of M storyline where he did something very similar?
I don't think so, because
Was
during
it?
House of M, he was like in charge of everything, so he wouldn't have had any time.
I don't remember, because I remember there was one comic that he did something very similar. Yeah, if it's not House of M, I'm not sure what it is.
It probably it might have been like when he first brought up Asteroid M, just to enjoy the freedom of it, but I'm not sure. But yeah, like that's what I got from like that scene was just him enjoying no electronics, no noise, just peace for the first time in God knows how long.
But we don't know how long he was captured by Bastion. You know, in the timeline, we don't know how long it's
Yeah, but
been.
even before then, like his life wasn't exactly on the up and up. Like,
No, definitely wasn't. And then we see that Roberto and Jubilee are being hunted down by a few people,
The
and a
friend,
few,
few of
and
the
a
Friends of Humanity, and just a couple random pedestrian humans,
civilians. pedestrians.
But it's a
Yeah,
scene. It's a scene ripped straight out presence of
a
the
little bit.
intro, though. Sorry, what were you saying, Taz?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was saying like the scene. It looks very reminiscent to like that intro scene where you see Jubilee and Roberto running up to the fence and grabbing it. Like that looked pretty much exactly like that scene, but actually animated.
And then we see Forge and Storm come back. My God, this was sweet. It's such a beautiful shot as she's coming down. Like, not the whole area, just where Storm is just raining and she's just coming down. Goosebumps, boys. Oh.
I was happy to see him back. Oh yeah, speaking of Storm, she actually wears that costume in the intro now. She doesn't wear
Yes.
the normal white one. Yeah, and straight from Giant Size X-Men number one.
I'm gonna be fair and honest. I used to think that the bee's knees was the white costume. Now that I've seen it in animated form, the new black costume, I'm now turning towards I love this more. You know, a lot of people will fight me in the comments for this one, and please fight me in the comments on this one. But I'm actually now turned. I actually really love this costume better. I can't explain why. I just really do. I d really dig it.
Yeah, like I'm more of a fan of the costume she had during Wolverine and the X-Men, that animated show, because she had the well, actually she might have worn an X-Men Evolution too, because
Yeah,
it was
she
this.
wore the black one in
Yeah, she wore the
Evolution.
black one, but it was like in the this show and in the original comic, it was a one piece suit with the leggings or the thigh highs or whatever. But in like X-Men Evolution and Wolverine and the X-Men, it was the same like top half was exactly the same, but she wore like pants and stuff instead. It was like a mixture of that plus her like movie attire. So I was like, yeah, it's a nice balance. Like it looks good
I
because it
like the
helps
little
her.
crown thing that they have that she's wearing as well. I just reckon that just completes it for me.
Yeah, she just looks like absolute queen. Like, oh. I mean, yeah, she literally is queen. She was queen of
Yeah, about to say,
Wakanda
hang on, she is as well.
at one point.
Oh yeah, because in a new timeline, she's not with T'Challa, is she?
No, not in this one. She's
God
with Forge
damn.
in this one.
Yeah, Marvel, Disney Plus. Marvel Animation, because I remember it this time. Please put that in the storyline in next season, because I'd really love to see a love triangle. I'm not going to say what I said on the last episode, between the Black Panther, Forge, and Storm. I reckon that'd be riveting storytelling you guys could do. And plus, I want to see Storm as Queen of Wakanda. What like that? That's a great storyline.
That really was. Especially like you get Shuri involved now. Oh. And there is a universe out there where Storm and T'Challa had a son. If you watch the animated movie Next Avengers Heroes of Tomorrow,
Yes.
one of the next Avengers is their son. He has a mixture of like his mom and dad's powers, but he just controls lightning instead of the weather. It's
Really
actually a
under
good movie. I highly recommend it.
Really underrated movie, by the way. Like
Especially,
no one
especially
talks about
Ultron
it.
in that movie. Oh, he's actually scary in that movie.
Now, I love the fact that they're all like raised like they're brothers and sisters. I just thought that was a really sweet touch.
That was good, man.
Like for a kids like well animated slash kids movie, I thought it was really good to watch with the kids. Really, really nice.
Was really good.
Hawkeye's an arsehole, but he's always an arsehole. Now, again, I've forgotten what happens next.
So yeah, he raises Astro. I haven't rewatched the episode again, so I'm a bit lost too. Let's go
Well,
to
we
my
go back
friend.
to the mansion, and then we have Xavier speaking with Cyclops and Jean. And this is where we start to see a lot of the flaws of Xavier's plans come to light.
Oh, yeah, because the first thing he's like, what the hell did you think giving the school to Magneto?
Exactly.
Like, straight away. Like, yeah, that's the question we all wanted to ask.
And that becomes a theme throughout the entire episode.
It does. Especially in like another 3 minutes.
This is the one problem that is recurrent through to all this series, right? Cyclops will have bits and pieces where he's a complete badass, like that whole scene there, and then for the rest of the episode, he's a f***ing bitch. I'm sorry. I know it's like a running joke here in the last few episodes, but I really want to like this character. And the fact that they keep doing this really sh*ts me up the fucking wall.
I don't know. Like with this one, I might disagree with you only because of later on the scene between him and Cable. Like that was a true. He did his best to like, you know, because he knew Nathan was like hating him. He was like, oh, you're my dad and everything, but like, it doesn't mean we have to be a family and all that. But he did genuinely reach out to him to just go, look, my life hasn't been all fucking sunflowers and rainbows too, man. Like, I don't know which one of these women is my wife. I don't know which one is the woman I first fell in love with. I know which one's your mother, but like, dude, I'm trying. And that's why, like, I love that scene where he's finally like, I'm trying my best here. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Just I'm doing my absolute best. And that's why I love when he finally gives him the uniform. And even better, Cable actually wears it.
We'll get back to
Actually.
that whole scene later, because there's a lot of controversy with that one, and
Yeah.
I have my own two cents, because it's what of a school. I always have my two cents on things, and yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Now, so obviously we've got gone to that speech. We
Now
then
we're
move
on
on.
now we're on Xavier talking to Rogue.
Yeah.
No, Nightcrawler. Oh, Nightcrawler. Sorry.
Wait, no, Nightcrawler's talking to Rogue, because she woke up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she, as soon as, oh, it was heartbreaking when she woke up too. Like, oh, they survived. And she's like, Remy? Like, oh.
Yeah, he like
Oh.
tells her Trask survived, and as well as, and then she cuts him off straight away. She's like, wait, Remy survived as well? And
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
it's just
oh.
silence.
Ooh, that was just a it was a heartbreaking moment because you think she woke up and she's like, it was all a dream. It's like, oh, you had to rip that away from her again.
Yeah. It's
Oh, it's
it
heartbreaking.
like it's it really sucks for Rogue. Like I know I'm talking like it's a like she's a real character, but if this reality, like you have to feel for her, because like she love of her life is gone. She doesn't know that Magneto's back yet. And the fact that she thought it was all a dream.
Yeah, like, oh, this
I
you just
like
feel for
you can understand the decisions that she makes later on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Lisha was about to say. Because, like, honestly, when you're that hurt, the simplest answers, or the answers you want to hear, if someone can do that, even if they might be the world's worst person, or is the worst way to do it. Unfortunately, as human beings, we do it. We've all been there, it's not, it's just human nature. And God, like again, I'm gonna say this again. If they do not win an Emmy for the writing of this show, I don't know what will, because this is very a provocative writing, and it brings up a lot of conversation with a lot of people.
I mean, I'll probably say it now, and hopefully they stick the landing, and this will probably be the greatest thing that Marvel's done in a long time. For not where it's the MCU or whatever, that yeah.
All right. Quick poll. I'm turning into Richard for the 2 seconds. I feel freaking dirty when I do this. What was the last great thing? Now, I'm not talking about in comics. I'm just talking about in media. What was the last big great thing that Marvel did, in your opinion?
For me,
Yeah, because I honestly can't think of anything besides Endgame. That's it. That's the only thing that's left in my head.
I'd probably say No Way Home.
Yeah.
I agree
Because it
with
was
No Way Out.
literally a love letter to the entire Spider-Man movie franchise.
Actually, no, I got one, and I'll go with you with that one only because of the post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Just because of
That's it.
that.
No, so simply because I. I literally just sat back and I was like, I'm in my element now. You know, like I can finally honestly say to my 14-year-old self that what I like is now acceptable in the world. I don't have to hide this anymore. I don't have to pretend that I'm not a nerd anymore, you know, because even though it's very like it's a lot because I told this to a few people who are a lot younger than me, because oh, but you know, comic books and all that stuff are cool, right? I went, no, they were always frowned upon. You got your ass kicked if you mention, like, I will never forget. I bought a whole bunch of Spider-Man the movie stickers that I was collecting, and
Oh,
I got
hell
the
no.
living f kicked out of me by a couple of people who were in my class, and they went, oh, you like Spider-Man, oh, you like stickers, and then bah. But that's the traumatics of my childhood. We're not going to get through that because I want to make you cry. But I still carry that torch of saying to people, I'm a comic book fan. I love movies. I love this, I love that. I didn't I just basically the You know, like I was still watching cartoons, like, you know, 80s and 90s cartoons in high school in the early 2000s, and people would just make fun of me, like, oh, you should be watching anime, you should be doing that. I'm like, I don't give a f, you know. And now, like, after watching that bit there, I can only say, you know what? It was worth it, because look, one of my favorite characters of all time is on the big screen, and everyone can sit there and enjoy it. My parents, my kids, my brothers and sisters, everyone around me is enjoying it. I can now understand why I like it. So if you know, for people who knew me as a kid and everything, I hope you're happy the way you treated not only just myself but everybody else, you know, because we were right. Those are cool. So yeah, no hard feelings. I'm not mad at you guys. I'm just telling you know, it was cool and it still is cool. So thank you. Yeah, I'm not bitter at all, fuckers.
We survived those dark ages, but now
Oh man, there was a lot of dark ages, you know. So hey, speaking of dark ages though, you know, you guys may not notice I'm wearing a very dark t-shirt that says I'm just an arsehole that bought a t-shirt from John Slipaction. Now
I kicked
here's a
him in
fun
the
you did, but do you know where you can get one of these beautiful t-shirts from?
Whereabouts?
Oh, it's funny you say that, Tass. You can get it from Overlord's sponsors on one of us called Respo Clothing. Make sure to check out Respo Clothing at Facebook and on Instagram. Facebook, you find them at Respo Clothing. Instagram, respo.clothing. They have a lot of amazing merchandise like this one. Now, this particular one is actually an Adrenaline Pro Wrestling breakout exclusive. So you want to get that, you'll have to get them, and then you'll have to go to a breakout, which is very, very an entertaining night of wrestling action that which has featured Tass and has featured Pete as well. I'm not going to reveal. I was about to reveal something. I can't reveal that yet. But something will be happening soon in the future. So definitely check that out and make sure to check out our sponsors, Respo Clothing. Now that is a cheap plug, and that was one of the worst segments I've ever done. Let's move on.
You call every segment you do like that your worst one, man. Like, get some confidence, brother. You're doing
Hey,
fine.
look. We have to keep the sponsors happy. They're the ones that pay the bills. You know, the lights are not cheap here on one of its cool, and especially, you know, the Zoom calls that we have to pay. Ugh, you know, and you know, Conflagassium. Oh,
Oh,
what?
That's okay. They're turning good guys. Chris Law, he's a good guy. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. And 211's your favorite member of Conflagassium.
Yes, he is.
No, nah, but you know, like in all seriousness, though, it's good to plug them. I just like to have fun at their expense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
That's
I got to admit though, like this isn't an XL, and it's bigger than I thought. So I've lost weight, or they've got the sizes just right. So thank you, Respo Clothing, for this beautiful t-shirt. Now moving on, Oh God, I am really not having a good time tonight. What's next? What happens next?
They
Now I
break up
believe
into
it's really
teams.
the
Sorry,
what?
the group breaks up into teams. So we've
Oh
got
yes.
blue team and gold team.
Hang on, we've missed something.
Yes, we
We've missed
have.
when Magneto shows up.
Yes.
No, that's after.
Is it?
After the teams get split?
No.
Because then the teams
No, you're
split up
right.
so
You're
that way
right.
they
That's
can go to
before.
fight Magneto and Bastion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Magneto comes and does a whole spiel, and Xavier and him, going back and forth, back and forth. I'm being flat honest here with the whole back and forth here. I'm siding with Magneto for some strange reason. I don't. I know what he's doing is
Because he
really
calls
bad.
Charles down on his
Yeah,
yeah,
like.
essentially.
He's like it. There's a reason everybody's saying Magneto was right. It's because he was like,
I tried it your way, and look what happened.
yeah.
But it's
And
like
like,
it's so true though. Like, you are sympathizing with Magneto, but it just I think if he didn't look like didn't look and sound like a sadistic person, I think I'd be like, oh, Xavier, I'm gonna go with Magneto. It's like I just still don't trust him. You know what I mean? But I'm siding with him on the aspects of all this.
Especially because, like, he's been proven right so many times by this point. It's not even like Genosha didn't prove him right. Everything leading up to and even after Genosha proved him right. Like, it's been the fallout of Genosha. It's been the way that he was treated leading up to Genosha. It was Genosha itself. Like, and even before he. Like Asteroid M and everything was all taken away from him because he just wanted his the mutants to have somewhere to go and not be ostracized. That's all he wants. And even when he got it twice, it gets taken away from him, which is why I reckon he brought Asteroid M back because he's trying to bring it back to go to have one last try. But I believe his plan, especially with the magnetic poles and everything, he wants to wipe mutants out because he's like, I'm done. And
Pretty
that's
much
why he's telling
wipe
Charles,
everybody out.
yeah, because like as soon as all the humans are gone on Earth, the mutants can finally take over.
Very dark.
It's dark, but you can see where it's coming from, especially when he invites the X-Men to join him to say, this is our future. Whether you want to be involved or not, because we've seen what happens when Charles tries his way. He's been trying it for, well, at that point, 5 years, as far
Yes.
as we know. And yeah, it's all gone downhill over and over and over again. And like, yeah, it's, and that's
Probably a
why
few
he's.
years earlier, because we still always see that portrait of the original team.
It's been knocked down, it's been cracked, it's dirty. Like, and it started off so pure and clean, but as the series has gone on, it's just gotten worse and worse. But like it's a true allegory of like everybody's view on Xavier's dream. It's just the longer it goes, the more you realize how unrealistic it really is.
And like the whole thing with Rogue as well, like she was wearing Gambit's jacket
Oh, he's not my punk
on top of the her classic outfit, her first appearance.
Yes.
Her villain outfit, it's
Yeah.
that, yeah.
That if that's more of an inkling as to where her character's gonna go, there you are.
Yeah.
I'm
Like, it's.
glad you said that because I was like, why does that outfit look awfully familiar? And it's a
Why is
cheeky
she all
little
in green
cheeky
and white?
it's very cheeky little Easter egg, and I'm surprised, fun fact, you didn't say anything there.
I did, but you said it before I did. You want this job? You want this gimmick?
Speaking of gimmicks and everything, I'm gonna put it right here. This is the new t-shirt design for Fun Fact Pete Morgan. If you would like one of these, because we all love money, but this all the proceeds will be going to Pete on this one.
Oh, shit.
Make sure to DM us here, and DM again. I'm gonna be plugging up again. DM our sponsor Respo Clothing, because we will have those printed out and we'll have those ready for you guys pretty lickety split. So yeah, make sure to check it out because Pete's a very handsome man, and that's a very beautiful design. Who designed that beautiful little t-shirt?
You? I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yep. There you go. There you go.
You just sent me the photo and you were like, yeah, this got done. I'm like, oh, all right, sweet. I don't have to do nothing.
Yep. Let's just put further proof that I do all the f***ing work here on this show.
You pay us for exactly what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Ah, God. No, but this is also where, as much as I don't like the fact that Rogue is going bad and all that stuff, what she says here is so powerful, and it's just like, oh my God, like I totally understand where she's coming from. Back on the island, I made a choice to make sure that no one else has to go through this and all that. You have to feel for her, like she's taking a stance. Like, in essence, and again, we're going to bring this up, in essence, she's a better leader than Cyclops. Just to take that on her heart. Like, I don't want this to happen again, because I don't want people to feel the same way I feel, and I don't want any more hate between anybody else. And then we have to
How
get
many more of
Roberta.
my friends have to die?
Yeah. But then we have a bitch come out and says, oh yeah, well, my mum, gave me up to the Sentinels. I'm gonna go with them. But
I mean, you can understand where that comes from too. Like,
I'm really hating Roberto. I just
yeah,
oh.
I like the whole context of this scene, especially like this is what makes me want them to win an award for the dialogue alone, because Charles didn't realize he was the straw that broke the camel's back, because he was talking to Rogue. And he made a comment about how Remy wasn't buried at the school because his past, it doesn't matter. What do you mean? He didn't do anything. What, all the things that he did here were noble. And Rogue looks at him like, what? Because she loved him for all of that. Even with all of his past and everything, she still loved him. She didn't just see him as an X-Men or a student. That's why she makes the comment, oh, if you treated us like adults
People instead
instead
of
of students,
students.
we'd be fine. Because, yeah, in Xavier's eyes, they are all his students because he sees them all as his children, but they've grown up, mate. You had to leave. They've grown up since then. They've grown up even before then, especially now with all this going on, and you weren't there. Why weren't you there? Because you were plugging some bitch up in space. Like, pretending to be her dog and shit. Like, come on. But yeah, now that he's back, he's like, oh, they'll fall back in. They can all be my students. They'll be my X-Men. And they're like, no,
Nope.
no. It's a lot has happened. We have gone through a lot of trauma. More trauma than I reckon they went with when he was there.
Yes.
So it's like,
Pretty much.
yeah, no, he broke the camel's back by not acknowledging why Rogue loved him and the things that she did love about him. He just saw him as a student. And she's like, no, I can't, because look what happens when we try to look at him that way. And especially with like Roberto as well. He has always been skeptical. Like, even when he first got brought in by the X-Men, he was like, he's always been like a little bit on the fence. The only thing that was tilting him towards becoming an X-Men and a hero and everything was Jubilee, because she was telling him, I've been in your exact situation. I want to help these people, and that's what we've been doing this whole time. Do you want to help us? Because she's never said, you're joining the X-Men, I'm going to make you join the X-Men, or handed him a uniform and said, you're an X-Men now. She's always like tried just supporting him the whole way and helping him make his own decisions. So especially when he joins Magneto, like it was a little bit of a shock, because you're like, eh? You can see why, but at the same time, he almost immediately backpedals.
Yeah,
Like
when push comes to
this,
shove.
yeah, exactly. Like they start fighting, and I'm like, it's more like a lover's quarrel instead of like fighting for each other's lives. Because he's like, he actually hits her, and he's like, oh
Oh,
no, are you so?
stuff.
Are you okay? And she just punches him back. That was a pop.
The one line that still haunts me of this entire episode is when Magneto just turns around and goes, so what do you decide, my X-Men? I'm just like, oh, what a massive F you to Charles Xavier by saying that straight to, straight in front of him too.
the juxtaposition of, to me, my X-Men. Now Magneto's saying, no,
Yeah.
now you need to decide.
I also like how Professor X is still calling him Magnus. Like, brother, everybody's been calling him either Magneto or Eric. You're literally the only person who has ever called him Magnus. Like, you know his name. Especially if, like, you hear Eric talking about, oh, yeah, we met in Germany when we were young, and oh, talking about his dream and everything. It's like, yeah, you know his name is Eric. Why are you still calling him by his villain name?
Because he's a bitch.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, like, not only is Psycho a bitch, but Professor Xavier's a bitch, and, you know, looking back on it, that's probably where he got it from, you know? I am so getting a lot of hate on the comments at the moment just by saying that. Anyway, but, like, that's very powerful scene. And then we move on where I, now, stop me if I'm wrong. This is when Xavier and President Kelly are in a because I first thought they were in the same room, and I realized, oh no, he's obviously Astro Projecting himself in the same room with President Kelly, and they're basically just saying what's the plan, what's going to be happening. Is that's the next scene, right?
That's when they're suiting up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now.
Because that's when we get, this is when we get the whole, we're splitting into two groups, one to go after Bastion, one to go after Magneto.
Well, they show off, they go to Muir Island because the mansion's compromised. And you get the classic Scottish bagpipes like they showed in the original show. And it's like, oh, that's nice.
That your fun fact for that bit?
Yeah, they had the when you see Muir Island for the first time in the
Hang on,
original show, they played the
pay, do it right, do the line,
oh,
do the line. Do the line, do the
all right. Fun fact, Daniel Crow's a bitch.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
but yeah, fun fact, they the bagpipes that they play when you see the Muir Island building, it is pretty much exact same composition as in the original show, just obviously recorded different because audio technology is a lot different from the 90s to now. But there's also another little fun fact there. If you look at when they're looking through the where you see like the Blackbirds are parked and everything, like the garage or the whatever you want to call it, you see a car that looks very similar, if not identical, to the one that Bastion drove to the X Mansion. And that's because the guy who owns Muir Island was friends with Bastion and Forge, as you see in the photo in part one of.
Oh, I did
Yes,
not
that's right.
notice
The old
that. Man.
The old
The old
man.
man from I
I
think
can't
the
remember his
first
name
time
right
we go to Muir Island in the original series.
Yeah, because he
The doctor,
developed anti-mutant technology.
Yes.
Now, I'm gonna be very angry at this bit. I'm gonna learn that even though Disney and all these other companies love to send little trailers and all that stuff. This was ruined about 4 hours before I watched the episode because Disney decided to put a little clip basically showcasing what was about to happen here.
And this is why I
So,
don't watch clips. I told you, boys. Come on.
yeah, I made the rookie mistake, unfortunately.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the second Deadpool Wolverine trailer. Outside of the teaser where Wolverine's shadow is shown, I haven't watched anything after that. Don't want
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. That's fair. But we're going to address the elephant in the room before we get to the actual big reveal. Now, there's a line that's been said as Cyclops and Cable are talking, and they're basically, just saying, give him hell and all that and all that. There was a line that says, what are we doing? Going to the circus? And then Cyclops turns around and goes, what do you expect? Black, was it black leather? He said,
Black leather, yeah.
he said, us wear black leather. Obviously, this is a reference to the original X-Men movie that came out in 2000, where they said, what do you expect? Yellow spandex. First and foremost, I've never heard anyone thought that that was a negative comment from the original X-Men thing. Because I remember watching it with a whole bunch of friends who loved the comics and loved the cartoon, right? Just before I got beaten up, by the way. And they all laughed. And everyone who I've ever watched it with all laugh because they got the reference. It's a joke. It's not meant to be hurtful or anything. I was looking on the dark parts of the web of YouTube, and there were several really horrible videos that comparing it to saying it is a massive fuck you to the fans. How is that a
Wait,
yeah?
what?
There was a guy. I'm not going to give him any props because he basically badmouthed everything that was to do with not only the original movie but also this series. Like, oh, it's basically going back and forth because it's like fan. The director wanted to piss off the fans. The director didn't care. Do you realize how expensive making costumes is? That was the cheaper option to begin with, and it was a fun little nod. Get over it. It's not the life and death. It's not like I don't know. Oh, I just think off the head. It's not like all of a sudden they retconned, something with let's say if it's a Star Wars that all of a sudden Luke didn't get his hand cut off. They just left him having it on. It doesn't matter. It's still the story's still there. It's still fun. Shut up. Get over it. There is no controversy with this one because even when they did this one, I thought it was the most funniest thing I've heard in the entire show. Get
Yeah.
over it.
As bad as and on your Star Wars example, as bad as somehow Palpatine returned, as bad as that is, it still makes sense in universe. Like everybody can be pissed off just as much as they want, but that's the story and that's how it plays out. It's
I
same as
see it.
this. Like these kind of jokes make sense because they never used black leather. They
It,
use the
even
colorful
with
suits.
even when you said it about Palpatine, sorry to go on now, go on Star Wars for God's sakes.
Here we go.
No, like I'm not the type of person that will crack this crack the over little things when they change. If it's big things that they change, like it's going to lead up to a new episode in the very future, what they did with Hush,
Oh
Batman
God.
Hush.
Oh, the movie, yeah. The
Yep.
movie that took me three times I had to I tried to
What's the
sit down.
whole one?
Oh.
The animated
Oh,
movie that made me hit my head against the wall. Not literally, that's figuratively, because I'm not that stupid to do that. Now that is one that will easily make me, become a
was
keyboard warrior and say stuff. But something as a small line like this, that's not
yeah.
cool, guys. Just enjoy it, you know?
Especially because this is the fun fact for this scene.
Yeah.
The background of that original line, oh, what do you expect? Yellow spandex? It's because when Bryan Singer was making the original film back in 2000, he wanted it to be as far away from the comics as he could. Like, he went so far as to ban comics being
Yeah,
on the set because
he
he
did.
didn't want, he wanted to make his own X-Men and like his realistic X-Men or whatever. And
Now,
yeah, it's why they made that joke. It was not as like, oh, it's satire or anything like that. It was literally Brian's jab at comics themselves because he hated them. That's
hang
why
on.
he put that line in there.
In saying that though, how do you explain that if you've got now, this is how old I'm going to be. If you have the X-Men 1.5 DVD, I don't know if it's on the Blu-ray, it's certainly not on the 4K, but if you have this particular DVD and that secret outtake,
Oh,
how do you
slap.
explain do you guys do now? Now I think
Have
Tasno
1.5, but I haven't watched it in ages, so I can't remember what you're talking
I know
about.
Tas probably remembers this. Do you remember a special outtake with that involved James Marsden
No.
wearing a certain suit?
Was that him doing that?
That was him. That was not Hugh Jackman. It was James Marsden.
Wow.
Well, James Marsden was in the scene, though.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. Not in this one. He was the one.
Really?
Because no, so that scene he was in, right? But it was him wearing the costume because he just came out as a costume. Not, and I'm not talking about the Spider-Man one. I'm not talking about the Spider-Man. I
Oh,
am.
okay.
I
Yeah.
am. Because that's what I'm thinking. You're thinking of.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about when the doors open of Cerebro. And it's James Marsden dressed up as Wolverine going, Jean, why are you sexy wench? And it runs off.
What Jesus Christ.
To look back at that one. I need.
Yeah, so do I. Like that sounds like I really wish I didn't miss that.
It's a secret. It's
That's
a
awesome.
secret Easter egg somewhere in the DVD. I remember I found it, and I was like, oh my God. Why didn't they put this on the highlight reel or something like that? This is quite possibly funny, but obviously, licenses probably wasn't easy for them to get that because even the whole Spider-Man thing, I don't think that was even on the original outtakes from memory too, because I think that was one that they later put on the net, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it would have had to be because, yeah, Spider-Man owned Sony back then.
Yeah, still does.
No,
Yeah.
that's the, yeah, like not long after they bought them. Because I think they bought them 98, 97, 98,
98, 98, because
98.
no, because 97 they still had it, because that's when they were that's when Fox was trying to do the God, this is how old I am. This because I was trying to do the Spider-Man movie with, I believe, DiCaprio
Yes.
cast,
Yes.
or
Because
was going to
because
cast.
DiCaprio is the reason that Tobey Maguire got cast.
Correct. Hang on, was it? Yeah, it was 97, because 98 is when they sold it, and that's when the movie was dropped.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because that was the it was why they didn't have Sandman in the X-Men, the X-Men in the Spider-Man cartoon, because originally he was in the first script, so they didn't
And
want to waste
is
him.
it and here's another fun fact that a lot of people tend to forget. Marvel almost went bankrupt in 1998. If they did not sell the rights to the comics, we would not have the MCU, we would not have anything. Because pretty much, and I'm not even gonna lie on this one, let's be honest, the stories were pretty stale back then in 97. And it's not just X-Men, it was every single one. I honestly can't think of anything that was actually worth reading. I remember there's a lot of great art, but that was about it.
Yeah, it was literally just the art that Marvel was selling their books based on. It's why they had guys like Rob Liefeld and all that, and Todd McFarlane.
Oh no,
And
they
it's
were long gone by then, but you're right,
was it?
yeah. Because
Because I
Image
know that's why they
started.
brought them back. Like that's why the
Oh
hero
yeah,
like
that's right, because Rob came back and
Jim Lee.
no, Jim went to DC at that point.
Yeah,
It
Jim
was
was doing like Hush at this time.
Oh my God, I can't remember another guy from Image, but yeah. But yeah, there was yeah, a horrible time for Marvel. Yeah.
Because ironically, like it was the Onslaught event that brought him back because they saw how successful Image was getting with Spawn and guys like that. And that's why they brought in Todd. They did the Onslaught event to wipe everyone out, redid the universe, and they're like, all right, Todd, it's your ship now. You're the best artist we've got. Get writers, handpick them, and then come up with everything. And it was so bad, so badly done. It was
Oh
fixed within the year, is how bad it was.
boy.
Took them 7 years to fix New 52, but that less than a year. Pretty much.
I am so glad Richard's not here, because he will go on a tangent about the new 52.
Oh, brother, if he reckons New 52 was good, my only report is Lobo.
Yeah.
That is my one comeback to every time someone says New 52 was good. Like, no.
Oh God, yep. Oh God.
Oh, that's terrible.
We are incredibly nerdy.
And
Yeah.
we've gone completely off the
Yes, we
yeah,
have.
we're off
Now
the
let's go
rails
back to the
of the
scene. Let's go back to the
episode.
scene. So obviously we get comic accurate, well at least comic accurate to from a certain point of the
Arena
X-Men
costumes.
now. I'm still puzzled why they put Jean Grey back in the mask.
I
Because we
reckon it was
already.
like it was her acknowledging things, as well as like we don't know, her original uniform may have been destroyed. Plus, she's wearing her hair down now, like Madeline, so she must just be trying to switch stuff up.
It
Same as
was
why
the
she
same.
wore that uniform in the fight with the Shi'ar Empire when she was Dark Phoenix. Yeah,
Yeah, all right, good
exact same
point.
thing.
Yeah, good point. And they.
It's actually the second time for her to wear that outfit is in the show.
But as a coming out doing the whole superhero walk and everything like that, President Kelly says, don't make me use my hand. I'm just like, he really doesn't trust Charles now. Shut up, you dirty minded sick puppy. Okay, so I am not trying to be dirty here, and I'm trying to be very subtle, because that's why I'm trying not to swear as much. But Pete is not fucking helping me when he does shit like this.
Well, Charles, I'll use my hand. You want me to use the left one? It feels like someone else is doing it.
Sorry to use a wrestling term here, but Pete, next time I see you, pick a hand, okay?
Oh man,
Oh God.
come on. I don't think he ever made someone pick a hand because of a rib. Come
Oh
on,
God.
bro. Oh, bro,
Love you,
pick a
Pete.
hand later. I've
Anyway.
got a fiance, mate. I don't need you to do it for me, all right?
Anyway, I really feel the intense from President Kelly, because like he you have to admit, like he's given a lot of leeway for Charles, and
Oh yeah,
he's
gotcha.
really and it bit him in the ass, you know. Guaranteed he's not going to get reelected. So he's going to try everything he can to sweep this under the rug. But
Well, the world's still standing by that point.
yeah, good
Yeah,
point.
God.
Yeah, and then we cut to a beautiful scene where everyone's in into the blue. Why am I about to call the blue jet the blue
The
bluebird?
Blue Man Group.
Those who watch the old Blue Man Group ads would get that joke. Yeah, so we get
Yes.
into the Blackbird. Sorry,
Yes.
Bluebird. Get into Blackbird, and Forge goes into, I don't know what that ship's called off the top of my head. I know it's got a name.
I think it's just the old version of the Blackbird.
Is it? I
I
thought it
think it
was
is.
okay. So old Blackbird.
Yeah.
My God, this scene is just beautiful, beautifully drawn. And
Oh, their plan for Bastion is they're going to use the same, I
yes.
think, nullifier that they used for the Phoenix.
Yes, they did. The exact same nullifier, the exact same machine that Hank built it with, but Forge is working on it because he knows exactly how Bastion works. So it'd be perfect to cut him off with it.
Oh God. It's this whole thing is just tingling. Like I'm loving it. It's just really, like it's getting really excited. The music pumping up as well.
And if they get that nullifier on Bastion, they wipe out all the Sentinels.
Yep.
But then, you know,
Which
as
is,
a, oh sorry,
I was about to say, which is weird because they haven't specified whether they die or not. Because I'm thinking
should
we
play
don't know
fast.
how many people were Prime Sentinels. I'm thinking it's a lot, like more than we've been led to believe. Like if it's that bad, we could be looking at like another snap situation with how many people were probably Prime Sentinels at this point.
No, but as we go through it, you know, they're breaking off, and obviously gold team go to attack go to Bastion, and then blue team is going to Magneto, right?
Sure
Yes.
am.
Yeah. I don't know why I just felt incredibly nerdy by saying gold and blue team. I
The
don't
comic
know.
accurate teams. That's
I
what they
know,
just
I
call
know, I
it
know. I
pretty
just
much.
feel weird. It's like I feel very nerdy saying that. But cool at the same time. And then the Sentinels come out and start saying, you know, you can't because Bastion's obviously controlling him. You know, you can't stop me. You can't stop my army. And then Storm is creating a tornado, and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, by the way, the reason Bastion has Sentinels is because he protected them from Magneto's EMP. Remember the
But
liquid that
he
he
can.
pulls them out of?
No, but he can, but how he can actually like fully control him with his powers, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah,
that's why he's the living Sentinel. He can
yeah, yeah.
control other Sentinels. That was Nimrod's power too.
No, just like for some reason, I was like, yeah, how's he doing? Yeah, how many Sentinels do you reckon that he actually has?
Oh, not that many, I don't think.
Because I'm
Probably.
thinking, well, a Sentinel can be easily destroyed. Wouldn't you like get some more, like? Or save yourself some more, or
I
get
mean,
something else.
Master Mold was destroyed episode one, and it didn't look like he was in the best condition, so it's probably
Yeah,
all that's left.
fair enough.
And he was completely wiped out in episode five. Yeah,
Yes.
true.
And obviously, Sinister's is doing his best to basically protect himself and everything. And then you see Blue Team going up and going through. I feel like this is a Star Wars moment where they go through the shield of Asteroid M. And get right into the thick of it.
Yeah, straight up.
So
Because
good.
is it Team Gold or Team Blue that fight Mr. Sinister? I can't remember which one.
Gold.
Gold, yeah. Oh yeah, because you get Forge big doing the most stone-faced Yahoo I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, they kind of cut the animation budget on that one, didn't they?
You know, I feel that was. It was meant to be that, you know. It's like a reference to like how shoddy some of the animation was in 90 in 93 92 93.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the dialogue there wasn't the probably as impactful as it should have been.
If anything, just like no dialogue, just let the fight and the score.
Well, remember what I said about last week with the kids, doing like their impression of heavy metal with the with that. I feel like as I did the binge watch of it all this week, I did find a lot of scenes where there was something very similar. I think it is a reference to how shonky the animation was back then. So I feel like that might be an Easter egg.
Yeah, it'd be charming.
If that is a fun fact, let us know. Because obviously Pete's not doing his job properly.
Oh, off.
I love
Just
you,
as tired
Pete.
as you,
I
bro. I got
love
my
you,
ass
Pete.
kicked all
Come on.
weekend. Cut me some slack.
Yeah, you
Cool.
gotta.
Fun. Well, a fact for, that I've spoken with Pete about in the past. Before they leave, Jubilee's got Roberto's card, and there's a Claremont reference.
Oh, yeah, that one. Everybody just taking
Oh, I
my
forgot about
gimmick at
that.
this point. Fuck's
I don't see what you're like. We've spoken about
sake.
it
I forgot
in
about it, so yeah, fair
the
enough. Like
podcast. My
I
name's
said, I
Pete.
haven't rewatched the episodes. All
No,
that shit.
you're all good.
My name's Pete, and I'm from Texas.
Next time I see you, pick a fucking hand. I swear to God.
Hashtag if you know, you know. Sorry, Pete. I know this is all spot. I do apologize. I just thought
Nah,
it'd be funny.
you're right.
No, but I'm really digging these battles because it was very fast paced and everything. Gold team go in and obviously get attacked by Sentinels, and Morph, being the MVP that he is,
Oh, yeah.
turns into the Hulk and says, "Morph smash!"
Morph smash. Legit, I swear, Morph's got to be a bloody Omega level mutant at this point. If he can turn into anyone and take their powers, like one, there's a massive plot hole because what's stopping him from turning into Magneto and undoing the damage? For one.
Yeah,
Like that's a plot hole that right there. But two, yeah, if he can turn into anyone, what's stopping him from just taking care of Bastion all by himself? Like,
and he was Juggernaut last episode.
yes, he
Yeah, like what
was.
the f.
I don't know if I send it to you guys during the week. I know me and Rich talked about it when I caught up with him the other day. There was a instant video. I think it may have been from Marvelous Videos from memory. That were talking about Morph's powers and everything, and said that he actually is a Omega level mutant, but because he's so young, he hasn't learned how to properly control it yet. And one thing he can't get at the moment is telekinesis and all that stuff, right? But what they predicted was because he's still young, he still hasn't had these powers for that long. He will eventually will get that and be able to, be able to be one of the most, if not the most powerful, mutant on the planet,
It's the same
which
problem
kind of
that,
makes sense.
yeah, it's the same problem that Legion had for a long time. Like he had he's an Omega level mutant because he has access to literally any power. It's just those powers are all separate personalities, and that's his nerf, so to say, in gaming speak. Because I remember there was one point, I can't remember if it was his solo series or if it was during the Astonishing X-Men run where he was actually a member of the school. He got given like a Ben 10 sort of watch where he was able to like
No.
use any power at once.
No, I think that was astonishing from memory.
Was astonishing, yeah,
I
because I
think so,
remember
yeah.
like I remember during that time he was classified as a full-on Omega level mutant because now he could actually access the powers and not have the drawback of having another personality. It's why they got rid of it because they're like, well, he's not interesting now. He's just too OP. Like,
Oh my God, now I want to go back and read those comics. Damn you, Pete.
honestly, I
But
haven't heard too
I
many bad things about the show either.
I've watched a few episodes of the show. It was actually pretty good. It's just very weird.
Yeah, same with Cloak and Dagger, honestly. That one wasn't too bad.
Oh, the so we're gonna go on another change, but I'll make this short and sweet with Cloak and Dagger. F-ing takes forever to get started.
Yeah.
When it gets started, it's great, and then they had to cancel it.
They use their powers in episode one and then they can't use them again for like the next two or three episodes. That's how slow it is.
Or
Four, fuck me. Oh.
because
Because
I almost
I was watching it as it was being released, so like I didn't realize it took that long.
it took that long. I remember because I literally said to my family, I really don't want to watch this anymore. And because I can't remember if it was my niece or my nephew, because they did some research and they're like, oh, but I want to see what's going on because I really like these characters. I went, all right, fine, let's do it. And then when it finally got to, I think it was episode 6 from memory, I'm like, oh God, yeah, all right, I'm starting to enjoy it now. But during that time period, I want to just quickly just plug one other show, and you guys just check it out because it's on Disney Plus, and I reckon we should do it review this too because it's so underrated. Runaways.
Oh,
I
yeah.
will fight tooth and nail, right, that that is the best Marvel TV show, live action. I don't give a about Loki, WandaVision, any of that, right? Because I thought that was absolutely fantastic, and if you better pick the right one if you're
It
gonna pull
based off
something
of
out.
this one? Is it based off this room? That's the because this is when they've
No,
had
don't.
their breakup and they're just starting to come back together.
No, that's that's it's loosely based a little bit on that one, but they take it from the original one and that series.
Okay.
Yeah, it is so good. And that theme song. Like I'm doing I'm but butchering it, but that is one of my ringtones, and it still holds up. Like I'll like once we're done with this one, I'll quickly play the play of that, because man, like this is seriously one of the best things. Anyway, moving back to what
I
we're
think it's
talking
probably
about.
good
Good that
that
we
we're almost
do go
done.
on some of these tangents because throughout this episode, especially in throughout this episode of the show, there's so much that is straightforward that you don't really. Like Pete said, there's no real like references and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Not
it's
as
just
much
you
as
can definitely tell it's a
fan
part
service.
two of a
Yes.
three-parter.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
I've got a bit confused there, but I had to do some math.
Yeah, but no, it's really good. And then we,
Because then by this point, you can see that the X-Men are starting to lose the fight.
Yes. Because,
Oh yeah, because Bastion knock. Oh yes, because Morph turns into Mr. Sinister
yes.
to get close to Bastion, but Bastion catches him out because Mr. Sinister's never cared about anyone else in his life. Why would he care about me? It's like, well, that's one. That's a good point. Good point, brother. Good point. Like, Morph got me
Well
thinking.
done, Morph, you're fucked up right there.
Bloody hell. And
And then
then.
Beast shows up and he tries. Oh, I forgot one part during that fight. When Beast grabs one of the hands of the Sentinels,
Oh yeah.
and the
What's
joke
the
he says,
hand is so one hand
what's the
clapping.
sound of one hand clapping? Bah!
I actually reckon that he probably should have said, "Now, what does the five fingers say to the
You stole my joke. I was gonna say that. But
Oh.
you got, hey, but Pastor, you gotta do it right. What are the five fingers say in the face? What?
Well,
Slap." The best line, but obviously at this point as well, Sinister has taken over Cable.
Oh yeah, he has.
Oh my
Yes.
God.
Because you
That
can
like
like
did you guys get a little bit like a little bit scared on that bit? I'm thinking, oh my God, his plan is starting to come through. He's like taking
Yeah,
over Cable.
I was surprised because I'm like, wait a minute, how is he controlling him? Oh, the virus.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
It took me
That's a good callback to the
take
start
me
of the
ages for
season.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like, yeah, he controls him through the virus, but then he starts using his powers because like a lot of people think, oh, Cable doesn't have powers, he just has robot arm and a robot eye and everything. Like, no, he is Jean Grey's son. He has the telekinetic powers and the telepathic powers. They're just not very strong because they're constantly holding back the virus. Because if he started using them and didn't focus on keeping the virus back, he would lose his body again.
Yeah,
That was the only way to cure him.
turn him into a me, what's oh my God, what's the word, metallic beast or whatever. What do they call that? That
Strife.
huh? Stripe?
Strife? Strife.
Strife.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's essentially his evil doppelganger.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. English is not an easy language to learn.
Yeah.
I've known her since I was a baby, mate. Get good.
Yeah. I've only been speaking to her for 37 years, but Jesus. Anyway, like you're right. The X-Men is starting to show signs that they're losing. Then we cut to Blue That's Team.
Which is where Bodemeyer said, this is where you need to read this to get yourself ready for what's to come.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I think he said that just to put people's minds at ease for what happens.
Such a great book. Can you hold up again, please, and just talk just briefly about it and how great the story is?
Contractions. Now, this takes place, I think, shortly before Age of Apocalypse, or...
Shortly before, because this is... No, actually, it doesn't, because... Well, spoilers for the books.
I've read this a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm talking, like, for everyone who hasn't. Later on in the story, after Wolverine loses his adamantium, he becomes feral and, like, turns into feral.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
loses his nose, all that. And, to get the adamantium back, he makes a deal with Apocalypse and becomes one of his four horsemen.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's long after Age of Apocalypse at this point.
Right. Sorry.
I will say this. Oh, my God. If you've never read it, read that story. It's so
good. Great moment from Magneto where he, Charles is trying to give him another one of his speeches. And Magneto goes, I've been waiting so long to say these two words to you.
I hate this line. It's so corny.
It's so corny, but makes sense. That'd be such catharsis for him.
Mm.
Like, how many times has he always listened to Charles's spiels and just been like, oh my God, can I just like
I'm just waiting for one of you guys to say, it's like you, Dan. It's like every now and again we just want you to shut the f up. Stop talking. You know?
I'm not rich, man. See, Richard would probably say that straight off the.
He's
probably listening to this podcast and go, yeah, no, I would have said that. These guys for calling me out, but yeah, I would have said that.
he'd be like, excuse me, Saucer Redhead. I just need to call Dan, just tell him to shut the fuck up.
And Rich, if you don't like us coming after you, well, start showing up for the podcast, mate.
Yeah. Come back to work, you bastard. But you know, we start going further and further into this fight. Charles is trying to attack Magneto with I don't know what exactly he does. It's not a psychic beam. What exactly is it that he does?
I thought they were gonna like skip one of the big moments from Fatal Attractions, and then Charles was just gonna put him in a coma straight away.
Mm. Oh, is that what he's trying to do?
Put him or in just nullify his powers to the point where he can't use them at all.
Oh no! What he does is, I believe it's Nightcrawler that gets the helmet off.
Yeah,
because he's calling like, "Get the helmet off! Get the helmet off! Get the helmet off!" Because they didn't. They were like, it was like what, an hour until the world ends or something, or 5 minutes.
Yeah,
something like that.
It was something like that, and so he's like, "Get the helmet off!" And Nightcrawler eventually does, and Charles uses his telepathy to force Magneto to use his powers to reverse the
damage. That's what he's doing. Okay,
that's what he's doing. Yeah, because it is a reference to what he did to cause Onslaught, but what he did there was in reaction to what happened next.
Right.
One thing about that whole scene, though, that, and I was telling this to Tass before, have you guys watched the new Hellraiser reboot that they did, I think, about 2 years ago?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. Now, Magneto lets out a very comical scream, like, like that. And for me, it's reminiscent of the opening scene of the Hellraiser bit where the guy obviously stuffs up with the box, and then obviously the chains come out, but it was a very comical like scream and like pain that he's on, because it literally, and I'm not joking, you guys can go and watch it for yourselves, it was him doing this and
Like, brother, are you in pain? You don't sound like you're in pain.
Oh my god, no, I literally like that is the
Well, that
only
would have been
movie.
similar to what happened in the original Hellraiser, wouldn't it?
No,
No,
yeah,
but
true.
Hellraiser's the first one though. Although I don't rate it as a film because I thought it was absolutely garbage. Great storyline, great looking characters, but actual execution was terrible. I know I'm gonna fight. I know there's gonna be people who are gonna be arguing in the comments. Come at me, boys. The thing is, it was more believable, but in this one, it literally just sounds like he was getting off on it. Like it, like I'm not kidding. Like go and have a little bit watch of that. It's literally in the first 15 minutes of that movie, and it just does not sound right. I was doing my own commentary throughout the whole movie. Like I was basically doing my own version of Mystery Science 3 to 3000. Like
Oh.
I could do it.
Or if
If I really
tracks.
wanted to, I could do that.
I'm trying to think, is this City of Demons that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so yeah, literally the pitch for a Constantine animated series, but it didn't go ahead, so they just smashed the three episodes together and called it a movie.
Hang on, wait. How do we go from Constantine to Hell? Oh, sorry, from Hellraiser to Constantine all of a sudden?
What the f do you think Hellraiser is, mate?
No, that's Hellblazer.
Oh, Hellblazer.
Yeah, my God.
Oh, we were talking about the. To be fair, Hellblazer, was
You
like,
idiot!
welcome to Warf is Cool, ladies and gentlemen.
oh, fun fact, I'm a dumbass.
Fun fact, you're getting fired next time.
Oh, man, I'm still dealing with that concussion from the concerto. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh,
That was devastating too. Anyway, and I've got to go on another tangent for 1 second. That the Constantine City of Demons, although it was short, I actually did enjoy that. It's just it was a little bit very graphic with especially with that when I chanted the demon scene. That was oh God.
yeah, like the demon pool scene, that was rough. If anything, like I
Oh.
liked it. It was good, very like very faithful to original Hellraiser.
Blazer.
F you. Blazer. But yeah, I love
Don't butcher the name of one of my all-time favorite comics, man.
you,
Oh.
Constantine then, bitch.
Thank you. There you go, man.
But yeah,
Oh, actually,
I loved your ending.
hang on. Because it's Alan Moore. It's not Constantine, it's Constantine.
Oh, f off with that.
And can I also just point out because you called him Neil Gaiman. It's Neil Gaiman, mate. He pronounced his name Neil Gaiman, not Neil Gaiman.
Oh, is that when I was talking about the Eternals?
Yep.
I did say Neil Gaiman, didn't
No, you said Gaiman. You kept saying
I? Diamond.
Gaiman,
I think we were both saying
I had to keep a straight face through the whole time. Just like, dude, he's eventually going to say it right because he's like one of the most famous authors of all time, not just in comics but in books as well. And he's got to get it right, and he didn't get it right.
Tomato, tomato.
Very much.
We honestly
It's
love each other, guys. We don't. We're just hanging on each other.
because Gaiman and Constantine are the American pronunciation. The rest of the world does it Tyne and Gaiman. Like, it
Is
doesn't
Const
matter.
Hang on, is Constantine American? I thought that's
Nah,
like no.
Constantine is the American pronunciation because that's
Yeah.
how Americans read it. But it is named after Constantine, as in the Tyne Bridge.
Yes.
Which they fixed it up in the Sandman series.
Yes, thank God for that,
Oh my
because it
God.
finally ended the debate. It's the same as the Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul debate.
Oh God.
Like Batman Beyond put an end
Can we not
to.
I'm not having that on this show, please.
That's
Because
all right, man.
I'm literally gonna lose my shit if we start that argument.
So many flames.
Should we talk about the big moment in the show in this episode?
Yes. Yeah.
Hang on. We have to go back. We have to go back to the bitch moment. Where, firstly, I get it. I get why he did it, but they had a chance to stop everything when Cyclops, blasts Magneto and says, "Oh, we need to give Gold Team a bit more time." Dude, I get what you're doing, but you could have just saved the world just then.
I mean, no, he couldn't, because if he knocked out Magneto before revert, like He needed to give Gold Team, because if Gold Team didn't do their job, as soon as they take out take out Magneto and reverse the polarity, this Prime Sentinels would have been back online.
Okay. Yeah.
It would have been for nothing.
Sorry, my bad. All right. Sorry, Cyclops. You're not a bitch this one time. And also Roberto and Jubilee. I know we touched a little bit upon it, but I'm sorry, Jews. I said I'm sorry.
Bro, what the fuck did you expect to happen?
It's that moment in Captain America: Civil War. We're still friends, right? After the fight.
Yeah. Okay. Roberto, I get why you joined him, but dude, it's like in when you're in a D&D party and they're like, oh, I like the villains, I'm gonna join them. But as soon as the villains start losing or something, they switch back and it's like, no, f you. Like, stick to your convictions, Jesus Christ.
Can we seriously have one day where we play D&D?
I told you I've got all the f***ing books. I'm a DM. I want to.
I think when we have another holiday, like a holiday weekend, I think we should do it. I reckon it's gonna be fun.
If we run out of things to podcast and review and everything, the podcast is just going to turn into a D&D campaign. I swear. That's my pitch.
Yeah, but hang on. Here's the conundrum that you're not seeing. We're going to have Valido, Michael Weaver, possibly my cousin Adam Crow. I can't remember who else loves D&D that's been on the show previously. We're going to have a full-on fucking game if we do that.
Mate, I've ran a group of 21 players. I can handle it.
If you guys want us to do that kind of episode in the future, please let us know in the comments, because I'm actually starting to think that's a really good idea.
I can do it, brother. Especially if we do it over like Zoom. Or screw it, we'll do it face to face, and we'll just have cameras pointing at us, like they do on those YouTube channels.
I reckon we could do an episode of what if it's called Play. That'd be really good. Put it on Twitch. Yeah. Yeah. And then oh my god, now I've forgotten what was the last bit. Oh yeah, so the Magneto's hat, Magneto's helmet goes onto Xavier as this is happening.
It looks like he's gonna crush his head too.
Yeah.
It's that, but also I reckon it's symbolism. Eric sees Xavier as the villain in this. Cause that like when he puts the helmet back on, Magneto becomes the quote unquote villain. But when he puts it on Xavier, he's like, no. Because he could have put it back on his head and no one would have been able to mess with him. But he puts it on Xavier's head and starts crushing it. Like, no, you're the bad guy in this. I'm going to make sure you know it.
I didn't put two and two together, but that makes a lot of sense, man.
It's like that subtle... what's the one where the guy goes, oh, some writers use this, but I don't use it because I'm not a bitch or some shit like that.
Richard?
All right. Just take shots at it. But yeah, it's like that subtle storytelling. I can't remember what the actual word is called. But yeah, it's that sort of thing where he sees Charles as the villain in this. Because a lot of us do. That's why everybody's saying Magneto was right.
Yeah. And then Wolverine comes back.
We get the claws.
And quite a bit of blood too.
My God.
It looks like that was a kill shot.
I said this to Tass before we got on. If there's ever an episode of the show which I will not watch, let Bubs watch, it's definitely this now. Okay, that is quite possibly the most violent thing they could possibly do on the show at the moment. And as a parent, I'm not letting my kid watch this because of that. But the best line that came out of Wolverine here is the brave are always the first to fall.
And it was a callback too.
Yeah. That was from you do your fun fact. I can't remember.
Well, fun fact. Have you ever been to war, Bob? The brave are always the first to die. It was a callback to, I believe it was during the end of season one, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Where Magneto said that to Charles when it was like the battle lines were drawn. He had the brotherhood.
Oh, right.
Had
when they go to fight Master Mold.
Yeah, when they go to fight Master Mold the first time. It was like, yeah, the brave were the first to die.
I haven't read this comic in a long time, but I knew what was coming next.
Everybody fucking knew what was coming next.
when Bodemeyer announced that this is what you should read.
Yeah. We all knew what was coming. Same as when Hugh Jackman put up a Facebook status saying, "Hey guys, what do you want the next Logan movie to put? Which comic do you want it to be based off?" Just there was not a single comment that didn't say "Old Man Logan."
But this was oh my god! Like I can't believe I got it. Like I called it literally, as a watcher, because I was live texting Tass when I did this. And I literally, because remember, I was just like, oh my god, he didn't. And you're like, just wait. And then I was like, he's not gonna do what I think it is. And all you said was like dot dot dot. I'm like, I know what's happening. No, Magnus, no, don't do it. You know, it's not. And yeah. Then, oh
dear god, don't.
Yeah, like dialogue wise, image wise, it was exactly pulled from the comic.
Yep.
That's why they like they hung on the shot, because everybody knows that panel. And besides like Wolverine obviously wearing a different costume, because instead of the yellow and blue, he was wearing the brown and yellow. Like yeah. That was the only difference. Legit, you know, the rest of it was panel for panel, color for color, everything.
You know, I never realized that Wolverine was a Hawthorne supporter. Maybe he's not my favorite character anymore.
Oh no.
Have you ever realized that his mask looked like two Batman kissing?
God damn you! God damn you!
That internet joke is so old, man. I'm surprised. I'm surprised. Yeah, yeah. I actually like...
No, but I remember the first time I saw that. I literally couldn't handle the rest of the day, because I'm just like, I've lived my life is a complete lie. I need to rethink my life. You know?
Speaking of which, I didn't do this as at the start of the show, but I
bring yeah. You forgot to bring your little presents.
Oh, boost.
Once again, from the McDonald's lineup.
No.
I do remember that one.
Was that, wasn't it Hungry Jack's? Was it Maccas? No, I thought it was Hungry Jack's. Okay.
Yeah, that was Maccas. Nah, because I remember, because I used to have that one, and I used to think, and this will probably take you boys back.
Because we're old.
There's the statue out front of, I believe it was the Sunshine Shopping Center.
They got rid of it.
Yeah, that one. It reminded me so much of that statue of the bloke holding up the planet.
Yes, yes.
It looks almost exactly the same.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sad when they got rid of that statue. That sucks.
Hang on. So there was more in that line. So you had Beast.
Yeah, so you got
Wolverine.
Wolverine. You've also got the Thing.
Yep.
Oh, the Thing, yeah.
You got Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Not Silver Samurai. I've learned from last episode.
You're welcome.
He's Late Night, so yeah. Okay. And you've also got Spider-Man as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Me, he looks buff. God,
It was the 90s where everyone had a six-pack.
Oh, it's just, it looks like bloody... I'll see.
No, his shoulders are like this.
They're like, brother, his brother's on the gas. Like. Yeah. Where is it? I've got Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe.
Ah, yes, yep.
Because the Spider-Man in the storyline, Marvel Universe versus the Punisher, Spider-Man is just jacked. Like, here's a page of him holding a kid standing in front of Punisher.
Oh, jeez.
He's just jacked. Like... huge.
Am I gonna lose cool points when I say this, that I didn't actually write that as a story?
You didn't write it?
Nah, I didn't really like it.
I didn't mind it. Like I bought it
more
for the original one, the 1980s one,
mm.
where he does actually kill all the Marvel universe. They don't become cannibals first.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. Yeah, he was just jacked for no reason in that story.
Well, it's always like when you show us that one, it looks like Old Man Logan's Hulk.
The Hulk kids, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Can I just have a word of caution for anyone that's never read Old Man Logan? If you are very
Yep. That's the one.
If you are very sensitive, squeamish, do not read it, because I nearly vomited And I'm not joking, because it was very, because like the way it was written was very, very vulgar. But the things they implement, sorry, implied that happened and was happening is the stuff of nightmares, man. And that is, oh, not going to get into it here, but oh, huh?
Yeah, I was about to say, I was about to show a panel, and I'm like,
Yeah,
oh,
no. I
no.
know exactly what you're about to say. Do not put it on screen.
I'll put it away.
Yes, and thank you for that really sadistic smile you just put there. Is that the reason why we have to call you dangerous?
That's the thumbnail, brother.
Hopefully, the cameras caught that. Now we've come to the end of this episode. We've got to ask the staple question here on what if it's cool. Episode 9 of X-Men 97, is it cool? Tass, we'll go with you first.
Once again, I'm saving it till the final episode, which is, well, as we're filming it, it's this week. So, but yeah, like I said, somewhere early in the episode, he's hoping that they stick the landing, because this is, throughout the entire season, this has been fantastic. And they keep raising the bar every single episode.
Yep. And I'm now, I'll be fair, honest, I am very, very nervous. Now, as we're doing it, this is Monday night. As we're doing this, will be coming out on Friday. This is going to be a very make or break bit for all of us. Pete, is this episode cool?
It is cool. It's got its moments and everything. I just hate the bits in between, the good bits. Like you have the great start. Magneto's there. And he's tearing out the adamantium from Wolverine's bones. Like, that's how it felt to me. The rest of it was just there.
Just filler. Good. Just filler.
It's good in the context of the story.
I'm going to say, I'm going to be with Tassil on this one. I'm going to wait for my judgment, but I'm very nervous. Because like I said on the previous episode, Marvel and Disney have an absolute history of having two great episodes, and the third one's absolutely terrible. And I'm sorry to be that guy, but I am leaning towards that that's probably what's going to happen. Like,
I'm going to say that they probably will stick the landing, because if you go back to the previous seasons of X-Men, they've always completed their arcs in a very satisfactory manner.
Yeah, but different team, and it wasn't completely funded by Disney like the other ones were.
Yeah.
The original writers of the show are helping with this one. They're advisors. So,
well, let's fingers crossed that it is. Well, that's
and also one final question. Where do you reckon they're going to go from here in terms of next season? Because
Onslaught.
Onslaught's going to be the overarching theme of the season, but I do hope they have an episode set aside for God Loves, Man Kills.
I want that to be a one-shot.
So do I. Because I reckon they're going to use Feral Wolverine in the spot where they use Nightcrawler in the story.
Well, that's the end of this episode of What If It's Cool. Do we have anything that we can promote at the moment? I know a lot of stuff is in the works for all of us when it comes to wrestling. Is there anything we can actually plug at the moment?
This weekend coming up, we have MXW in Horsham.
Yep. Your boys, Hugh Sands and Mason Goldstones is going up there.
I'm going up there too, yeah.
Are you reffing or you're wrestling?
My match hasn't been announced yet, but I will be there.
Yeah, well, by the time this comes out, you know, it will already be announced. Who are you taking on?
I'm wrestling Daniel Cole and John Stop Action in a triple threat.
Ooh.
Kick City round two, boys. Let's go.
Yeah. the person behind this t-shirt, John Stop Action, which you get at Wrestling Clothing. And Daniel Cole, good friend of mine. I can't wait to see the result of that one. But Horsham is way too far away for me, so I won't be attending that one. I think that's there's nothing else we're gonna. I mean, I know we got the next Alpha show coming out, but I don't know the name of it off the top of my head.
No Remorse, and that'll be Saturday, June 6th, as well as Alpha Energy 5.
Yes. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully,
Oh, we also have AP. I think the week after MXW, we have a Adrenaline Pro Wrestling again with Battle to
Battle to
Survive 3.
Survive 3.
Yeah, but are any of us working on there?
Not that one, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you are, yeah, you are. You're wrestling for the belt. Bloody.
Legacy belt, not the
No wonder he
Conflict Axiom
won
belt.
it.
Yeah, I'll be watching. I'll be wa the, yeah, the Conflict Axiom belt. Get it right. I'll be watching it very, very closely. Because obviously my family members will be going after the tag title. So
Yeah, sure.
you might see me in the crowd.
You probably won't
Yeah.
see me, unfortunately. Because, spoilers, boys, I'm going to be working the night before. I haven't been
Maybe.
announced yet, so I can't say anything yet, but I will be working the night before, so you probably won't see me at Battle to Survive.
Okay. All right. Well, firstly, Tess, where can we find you on all your socials?
Look for Tess Alexander Talk at Leaders on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, whatever they want to call it now.
Yep.
Tess Talk at Lead 2020 on Snapchat. And yeah, we've already spoken about what wrestling events will be coming up. So there you
Yeah.
go.
And because I keep putting this on there and you don't mention it, also make sure to follow the Overlord Manos on Facebook.
Yes.
Yes.
That's who.
I'm making fun of Tess and he can kick my ass. What's wrong with me? Pete, where can we find you?
At danger underscore is underscore Pete on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And yeah,
You
you've
hang on,
heard
hang on.
me
You have a
mostly.
Facebook page now? You have a personal one, but I don't think you have an
Oh
actual.
yeah, not a person. I keep saying that every time I say, oh yeah, you can find me on Facebook because my name on Facebook is Pete Morgan. God damn it.
How about this? How about this? How about this? I'll make one and I'll put it. We'll put it in the description now.
Oh, well, there you go. Sweet.
Yeah, because
You
like
do my job
I
for me, bro.
like not to toot my own horn and not saying which ones I run, but I do have done that for a few people already. So yeah,
No,
but
I'd
I'll.
appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that tonight. And with that being said, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Want more from What If It's Cool? Make sure to check out the YouTube channel where you can find latest episodes of Mukbang Around, Reaction, and of course the podcast. And don't forget to follow What If It's Cool on all socials. It can be found at What If It's Cool. Keep that sport coming. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace. And Rich, you better get me on the next show. Remember, three
Well, it was the last episode, so they better.